You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers.
And I'm excited about our guest today. I really enjoyed watching him in action at Flavor Fest. It was just such a cool thing. Yeah, you know, it's just such a natural thing for him. And he's, you know, been around for a while. I remember meeting him a few years back, and he was slinging his books and trying to spread the word about him being an author. But gosh, I feel like that just scratched the surface, right? I mean, there's so many more layers to our guest.
I feel like you met Orlando at Mad Fest a couple years ago. Is that correct? Is that the story you told me?
Not me. Somebody else did.
Well, someone else.
I think I met Orlando, gosh, way, way before that.
I don't know. Well, and speaking of Flavor Fest, Orlando is one of our OGs. He was at the first year of Flavor Fest slinging books. And then this year he was a performer, which is awesome. So yeah, we are very excited. So as we have alluded, we're very excited to have our guest today, Orlando Molina, a.k.a. MC Zeps. He's one of the main people behind Rhymasaurus. And Rhymasaurus is a series of hip-hop-themed children's books and an educational platform. And before we get into the main portion of the interview, Orlando, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you landed in Stockton?
In the 209. My sister-in-law grew up here, actually.
Oh, awesome.
So my wife's brother's wife. Yeah, she grew up here, and they were kind of over LA, and they came out here to raise the family and get a house and have affordable living, and then we followed suit. That was pretty much the journey. My wife was like, I want to be around my brother and my mom and all the cousins, and I was like, let's do it.
So how long ago did you come out here?
2017.
All right, right on.
I'm 6 years in. I can throw up the West Coast with my hands now. I feel comfortable with that.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
You're one of us. One of us. I love it. I love it.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your hip-hop background and how that led to the creation of Rhymasaurus?
Yeah, well, I've been rapping since high school. It was funny because it was more of a jokey, like Weird Al Yankovic kind of parody style rapping. And in the beginning for me, it was a lot of like taking classic rap songs from the 90s and changing it to stuff about school lunch and teachers we didn't like, or you know, the state of the world at the time. And we're just being silly. And then in high school, you would do beats on the lunchroom table. Oh, you're about to hear a beat right now. It would be like with your fist and like a dime, and you'd be like, yo. And rapping like that. So just doing that for my whole life. And then when kids came into play and my wife got pregnant, I was like, uh-oh. I gotta rap. I got to rap for my kids because I love
rapping. I got to rap about brushing teeth and everything now. Yeah.
And not being a picky eater. That really was my mindset. It's just I saw a lot of my hip hop friends have kids and go, well, that was fun. And then give up the dream of rhyming. Your path changes. It's like you're not in the MTV Movie Awards or stuff like that. Or, you know, red carpet Grammys. And that wasn't in my cards. So I was like, let me write a kid's book for my daughter. And then when I moved to Stockton is when it got bigger and became the educational platform because of Stockton. So I'm always thankful to the 209 because of that.
Love it.
Well, and you have a partner in this publication, your friend and the illustrator. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about him.
His name's Charles Ugas. He's an amazing friend of mine. We kind of came up together for many years in the hip hop scene. He would do a lot of our album covers. He's an amazing illustrator. So he would do flyers for us, album covers, T-shirt designs, always collaborated with him. And then when the book came into play, I was like, I think I know the best guy to collaborate with. He's very easy to work with. I give him a couple of ideas. And if I tell him, can you draw me a scientist unicorn? Like literally just like that, because it's something cute for like a birthday party and he like a commission money. He'll just draw the illest unicorn with the lab coat, holding a beaker with the goggles and chemicals blowing up everywhere. Like he's just knows how to take my imagination and make it come to life.
That's a beautiful partnership. That's amazing. Yeah. And is he someone from your New York days, or is he a local guy?
Yeah. We're both Brooklyn, Puerto Rican guys. I think he's half Chilean. A couple of Puerto Ricans from Brooklyn. He moved to Staten Island with his wife and dog, I moved to Stockton, California.
There you go. Has he been out to Stockton yet?
No, I'm working very hard. We're doing first annual Puerto Rican block party here in October in Stockton. So I'm getting sponsor money and I'm getting grants and stuff, and I'm trying my best to fly him out because he's Puerto Rican and I want people to meet the illustrator, and it'll be cool. So hopefully this year.
All right. So speaking of the books, how many are available right now for people to purchase, and where do people get them?
We have a series of four books currently. The first book I wrote when I was in New York and my wife was pregnant. That's kind of what set it off. I was like, ooh, let me be an author. And then I moved to Stockton with one book. So I had one book available, and that's Brush Your Teeth, Rex. And he has little arms. He can't brush his teeth. The second book I did 2018. And that's Tara Takes Flight. She's afraid of flying and never been on a plane or used her wings. And sometimes I had to do stuff out of necessity. I had to publish that book quickly for copyright stuff, because I copywrote, my characters under the artist name, and I trademarked the name and the logo. And then part of that was, as a series, they were like, where's the second book? And I was like, ooh, I got to make a second book to make it a series. But then it kept growing, because then we did the third book right before the pandemic. And then that was like 2020. And then the new one is about moving to Stockton.
Yeah.
209-asaur. And that came out last year. So four books.
I love the 209-asaurus one. I moved back to Stockton after living in Idaho for a really long time. And we got a copy of it for my nephews last year at Flavor Fest. And I was reading it to my husband. I was like, I can relate to this experience. Like, it's irrelevant to anyone moving somewhere for, you know, the first time or in a long time or whatever. It's very sweet. So I don't know. The books are so cute. Wes, have you had the opportunity to flip through? Have you seen any of the books?
Yeah, I know.
So sweet.
They're very cute. So what is that process like, Orlando? I mean, where does this creative inspiration come from? What is it? How do you even start writing a book? I have no clue how that all works, finding a publishing company.
It is a lot. For me, actually, the writing was easy because I am already a writer through writing rhymes and writing rap songs. I've been rapping, like I said, since high school, putting out music since I was in my 20s, touring Europe and performing with my DJs. So the writing was easy because I didn't change my writing formula. I actually write the books with beats like a rap song. The book about being a picky eater I wrote because I used to be a picky eater when I was a kid. And I literally found the perfect beat that just got my brain going. And then I write it. I write the raps about the character. I think of the character and then I make rhymes about the character. I then transcribe it like page by page and record a demo. And that's what I send Oog, the illustrator. So he then takes my written rhymes and my demo and his brain goes wild. And that's how he draws the dinosaurs. So
I'm obsessed with that.
It's a cool pro. And then he bounces it back to me, sends me a PDF of all the pages. And these are like the rough, whatever. And very rarely have I sent back a revision. He usually nails it. One time, I think the 209-asaur, his skin was too close to his crown color. And I was like, lighten his skin so the crown sticks out. You know, very minor details like that, but he's great.
I can appreciate that. We work, you know, in marketing, obviously. And I think oftentimes we can forget that we're not the experts in every single field that we are working with people to, you know, help assist us with things. So I appreciate that you reaching out to a visual artist can take what they have and be like, you are giving me the best that you have and I'm going to run with this. And because he's not going to come back and give you revisions for your songs. You know what I mean? So it's like a cool mutual respect of what you guys do. It's like, I don't know. I love that.
And then step three is graphic designer. He does a little bit himself, but I actually get a third person. And the new guy is from Stockton as well. He's awesome.
Cool.
Vibrant, V-B-R-N-T. And he's from Stockton, so I wanted him to design this new book because he's a Stockton guy and it's a Stockton book. So then he's the one that lays out the pages, adds the text and places it all and works on the cover. And that's actually what you upload for self-publishing. So that's how I did it. I did it with Amazon, with Kindle Direct Publishing.
Oh,
just did it myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, didn't want to wait for anybody because it's a whole nother – it's just like being a rapper. It's like being a musician or in a band. Being an author, it's like, oh, I have to get on this big publishing company and I need a literary agent and I need someone to represent me and I need clout and PR and all that silly stuff. And I was like, I'm already, I know how to I've been working since I was 16. So I was like, let me just do it myself and I'll bust my butt and make it happen.
You'll love to see it. The hustle is real. So, okay, we are talking about a paper book version, but your website also mentions that you have audio, musical, lyrical book formats as well. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
The first book is on Audible because I used to work there. I was there for 5 years. Awesome company. Great people. They actually helped me point me in the direction of the self-publishing and helped me put the audiobook out. The tricky part with that is I now have to, like, I want to put my other books on audio, which we're almost done doing this year. We're going to have them all ready. We're going to put them on all streaming platforms. So I had to figure out how to put the audio out. And Audible's awesome, but if I only put it on Audible, it's not available on the other platforms.
So do you your own recording for it? Are you the voice of the books? Right on.
Yeah. Well, some of it. The concept is we have like a narrator doing the chapter announcements. The DJ scratches the chapter announcements. So you hear like chapter one, a cappella. This is when the narrator reads the book to you. She actually has a British accent. It's kind of awesome. And then the second chapter is the song, me rapping the book. The third chapter is the instrumental so they can practice rhyme it on their own. And then the new versions will also have remixes. So we're trying to make it so that people want the acapella and go, I want to make a beat and remix it. And then maybe throw it on TikTok. That's kind of where we're trying to go with the audio right now.
That is way more loaded than I was expecting it to be. And that is awesome. I thought you were just reading, you know, narrating the book. But that's cool. So it is its own like educational platform. You could do more with it than just listen to it. That is
sick. Yeah, that's why we call it Rhymasaurus, because it's like a Dr. Dre and Dr. Seuss combined. You can mix them up. Rap the book, write rhymes.
Have you been seeing the TikToks of the guy who is rapping the lyrics to Dr. Seuss books that have been hella popular now? It's great.
There's a really good, there's an LA radio station, I think The Beat or something like that. And they get guest rappers and singers to just have an interview. And then they surprise them with a kid's book and go, go ahead. And they put a beat on it and make them rap it. And it's kind of cool. I'm like, ooh, I hope they pick my book one day.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So beyond just the Rhymasaurus book series, you have a whole bunch of educational programs. Talk about what you got going on in the educational space.
Thank you, Wes, for that amazing question. I'll answer you right now. I actually connects back to moving here. I didn't think about that side of it, the teaching kids. It was more having the activities in the back of the book. So the second half of the book has black and white pages and blank lines. The entire book is duplicated in that version. So you get the full story, and then the graffiti spot gives you the place to write your own raps and color it. And that was an unintentional activity section, creative writing, literacy. These are all keywords that I kind of didn't know about in my rap world. And then when I came to Stockton, the librarians were like, hey, come to Cesar Chavez Library and read your book. This is so cool. And then guidance counselors were meeting me at pop-up markets like, this is fun. Can you come to my school and do a story time? And I was just, I'm a stay-at-home dad. So I was like, if I can get a babysitter, I'll show up. And I started doing it. I just started going to schools, not realizing how fun it was to teach kids ABCs and colors and shapes with rhyming and they're dancing to beatboxing and jumping around, and it's pretty crazy. So big thanks to Tuleberg Press, because they were one of the first people to get us like art money and grant money and send us to low-income housing to do after-school programs and rhyme writing, It's kind of just snowballed from there, and I love it. I have two kids at home, so I have a focus group at home. They they teach me fun things. I watch so much Cocomelon, I know what not to do.
Come on, Wheels on the Bus, Wheels on the Bus.
I love those songs, but Cocomelon and what's the other one? Baby Shark. Cool. Kids love it. Not me. And not parents that are my age. I'm 41. They like Wu-Tang and Hieroglyphics, and they like E-40, and they like Mobb Deep. So Rhymasaurus leans towards that sound. It's real beats, it's real DJing, it's real scratching. That way the kids are still rapping Twinkle Twinkle, having a sick time, but the parents are also like, this is my cup of tea. I like this.
We love to see it.
Yeah, that's kind of our angle. Real rap.
So there's something else you do that I've been fascinated with, because it's a new thing to me and I wanted to make sure we chatted about it, is this event wrap thing you got going on. Tell me, I mean, like, I go to a ridiculous amount of conferences, and I have yet to see event wrap at any of the conferences I go to. So I've got to figure out how we get this into some of our conferences. But tell me about what event wrap is and where it came from and what the heck. I mean, you just were in Canada, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it took me to – I've been to Seattle and Canada because of that company. It's a good friend of mine, Baba Brinkman. He's Canadian, moved to New York. We were both MCs in the freestyle rap circuit. We would compete against each other in freestyle battles. We had a respect for each other as rappers, but we didn't know each other as buddies until, coincidentally, we both got booked in Norway for a hip-hop theater festival. This is about 10 years ago. And then I got to watch him in action. He saw me hosting the whole festival, and we got cool. During the pandemic, all of us rappers lost our gigs. I lost a lot of my school gigs and live performing. So he made these Zoom meeting rap. It was called a wrap-up. And we would sit in Zoom meetings with the camera off on mute. And then we would do take notes and write raps during the meeting. And then when we were the special guest, everyone's all full of Zoom fatigue. Right. Like, I'm sick of this. I want to get off the camera already. I want to eat a sandwich. We would then be like, yo, shouts to Amy. Shouts to Anthony. He kind of looks like my cousin. I'm bugging you. See, he has glasses and a beard and he looks Puerto Rican. Whatever. We would rap about the entire company that was in the meeting. Shouts to Jenny in HR. Shouts to Steve in biz development. And they would be like, it was like it would brighten their day. And they paid handsomely. So
corporate money, baby. You gotta love it.
I was broke, I was able to get this green screen and my mic set up. And anywho, that turned into personal gigs. So we do freestyling, we do wrap-ups, we do commercial, like full music videos, like written for YouTube, kind of like we'll do a theme song. And it's challenging because I have to rap about, you know, I got to rap about wacky stuff like DNA splicing and probiotics. And I've written about African tech companies. I've written about dog shelters, adopt, don't shop. These are topics that are not normal rap song topics, but it's a good challenge for me to flex. And good money. And so it's awesome. And I get to see the world now. I get to go to other places.
Well, and it's resonating with like a different audience too. Like you were mentioning, mm-hmm. like the parents, you know, the late 30s, early 40 parents who don't want to listen to Cocomelon, but they want to hear beats that they recognize. I mean, the new corporate world is full of people the same age. So some of this stuff, or, you know, consumers too. So it's a, that's going to be sick, dude. That's not the end. I feel like this is the launching pad for this whole corporate rhinoceros career thing. That's awesome.
It was that path thing I spoke about earlier. Like I had a one path direction to like, I want to be a rapper. I want to be a famous MC. But then that led to going to Europe and Norway, and I started hosting dance battles. Mm-hmm. So I became an event MC because of dance battles. And they kind of took me under their wing and showed me the art of keeping the crowd hype and getting the energy up. At the same time I'm doing the dance battles, I'm at Audible hosting, you know, all hands meetings and freestyling. And they're asking me to bring beatboxers and DJs to the holiday party. And that was cool. Cause now I'm like hosting corporate. So this is kind of like at the same exact time I'm doing dance battles and stuff for families. I'm doing corporate. I can't curse or say bad words in either of those instances. So then those two paths collided into writing kids books, because now it's like clean hip hop. Yeah, you know,
flexible. You were flexible and you were open-minded, and that it's amazing to see what that can do for people. Because I think oftentimes we get stuck, not to say you're like stuck on your dream. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like what other opportunities await when you're on the path of it. So that's pretty sick.
Yeah. Dreams can change. Like if you're actually in a dreamscape and you're like, this dream's not working out for me. It's like, well, I'm going to grow some wings. You just do anything in a dream. Imagine it and happen and make it happen. Manifest. But Stockton, I love it here. I really do.
Well, and you told us a little bit about Tuliberg and how they kind of helped you launch some successes in Stockton. And I've seen the flyers on Instagram that you're going to be teaching a summer program through Tuliberg this year. And I know we're a couple weeks out from that. So why don't you give a little shout out for that in case there's still openings?
I shall. Tuliberg has been great. I think we did our first program right before the pandemic, 2018 at Sierra Vista. the low income housing, and that was beautiful with Peter Ragsdale and some really good people. The summer program is she got some funding, and we realized that summer camps are, there's a lot of really good ones in Stockton, but they all kind of look the same, same activities, same stuff. So the way Rhymosaurs works, we're trying to, everything we do at the assemblies and bringing it to classrooms, we're trying to give the kids a hands-on experience. Tuleberg is very hands-on with, you know, making notebooks and stamps and paper and binding. So we wanted to follow the Tuleberg way with Rhymosaurs so that the kids can, there's an app called Koala. We're going to get on some iPads and it shows you how to chop. We're going to show them how to chop samples, make drum patterns, loop them. We're going to bring musicians in, like real, like cool rock bands like Dirty Pillows and Mudville Massacre. Is that the name of that? There's really cool indie bands out here, The Mix Up. Bring them in, have them jam, sample the musicians. Show them how to sample. And because, you know, sampling started with records. Mm-hmm. But we want to show these kids another way to do it where you can make money. And like, if you sample a record, you got to pay those people. Mm-hmm. Got to pay James Brown and his estate. So we want to show them a fun way where you can combine, work with punk bands, work with heavy metal bands, and make hip hop out of that the way we used to. So rhyme writing as well. We're going to do a little bit of graffiti, like bubble letters, but more about how to apply it with graphic design. So you can help with marketing and banners and using graffiti style for marketing and like Adobe Illustrator kind of stuff. And then we're going to try and get guest dancers. It's hard because there's carpet at Tuleberg. Mm. So no B-girls, but maybe we're going to try to get some popping and some of those kind of dance things and show all four elements of hip hop for the summer camp.
That's awesome. And what's kind of the age range for attendees?
We're doing 10 to 18.
All right.
Mainly because it's a lot of rhyme writing, so they have to be comfortable writing, but also, I mean, most kids are comfortable with electronic equipment. You could probably teach a five-year-old how to make beats, but we're going 10 to 18 with this one. Also, that was the age I was a wild teenager in the streets of Brooklyn. And hip hop kind of helped me and my good parents. That both of those things got me from doing troubly things in the summertime. So now to be able to do that for these kids is kind of cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We are lucky to have you, my guy. This is so cool. We were just talking about it when you were off the line for a second. We were like, this guy is amazing. Like, you are just here, there, everywhere, doing a little bit of everything. Like, we are very fortunate to have you in Stockton. This is very cool.
I had the opportunity to watch you at Stockton Flavor Fest, and it was just amazing to see. You just looked like you were in your element, right? And I got to see a little girl come out, and she was doing some popping, and I was like, dang it. I mean, so it kind of leads into my next question. What is the favorite part of what you do? Because you just looked like you couldn't have been happier at that moment at Flavor Fest. So what do you like best about all the things you do?
It was very festive. Well, the thing that was cool about the dance cipher is I got to showcase another part. That all I do in the dance world is MC and introduce the dancers. And I just, you know, kill time. Oh, one of the judges is in the bathroom. Kill time, kick a rap. That's just kind of my job. But be able to showcase that element, because it is going to be in the Olympics next year. The girl that was popping was my daughter. No, I felt so good.
Awesome.
It's when it's all happening at once. A good example is the festival is a good example of it. The surroundings, like while I'm having fun with the music, there's like these beautiful flags and like all this art everywhere. And then like the trees, it would just all happen at the same time. And it felt good. When hip hop elements combine, the jubilation just kind of increases. It's like the DJ spinning. There's a guy on the mic saying silly things. There's people breaking or popping. And then right behind us, and this was a coincidence, Cognac was doing live, a live mural.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a good buddy of mine, and we work a lot together. And that was the missing element. I wanted to bring a guy to do a live canvas, and he couldn't make it. And there he was. There was Cognac, kind of like, hey, I'm here. And the four elements were in conjunction and just kind of all happening. And that's when it's fun. It's kind of like, this is an 80s reference. Transformers, Voltron. Ooh, Captain Planet. It's like, hey, we're kind of strong. We each have a little power, but if we combine our rings, then it's cooler and we'll save the day with hip hop. So that's kind of that was the feeling. And little kids were joining the cipher as I requested. I was like, hey, if you want to jump in there. Some kid came in soccer cleats in a full soccer outfit, killing it.
Some old dude.
silver mane, like salt and pepper, handsome fella. he just jumped in there and started like grooving. Like, I called him Stalberto. Yeah. I want to know who he is. I want to tag him. Yeah, if anybody knows Alberto.
Like, he was just like dancing there for off the side. He kept moving and moving. And then he got called out. And then he just went up there and he had white pants on and stuff. He was jamming, man.
It was beautiful. So thank you guys for, I actually told a lot of people I was like, yo, I got to give Visit Stockton props because to recognize that as a cultural dance. Like if you look at every other dance, it's like, oh, gypsies, indigenous, cool Asian dragon thing. Those are all like based off of a location or like a region of native people. And that's beautiful. It's cool that hip hop is recognized as that. This thing that started in the Bronx that's now worldwide and then you're going to have it in the Olympics is kind of, it's cool. So thank you guys.
Absolutely. And we're not, you know, it's that balance of trying to not be cliche, like there's something for everyone, but it's important to represent everything as it's intended to be represented. So we appreciate you bringing that into the fold. So before we get into the last question, what's your goals? Like, what are you hoping for some future goals for Rhymasaurus? What's it look like?
That's a good question. It's funny because I reached my goals that I had when I moved here because my wife was always like, she works 9 to 5. Shouts to my beautiful, amazing wife, working hard. She works at Gallo, E&J Gallo. Nice. I just wanted to be able to help with the kids without having to like get a regular job. I didn't want to have to work somewhere and then pay someone to watch my kids. So I was like, I want to just do my thing. And I got there. I'm doing good. It's like a good business. I'm making money, helping the family. But now, of course, I want more. So my next big step, I think, is animation. And I want to like, if I can have like a bidding war between Hulu and HBO. Oh no, it's not HBO Max anymore. It's just Max. Hulu Max, Paramount Plus, and like Netflix have a bidding war to license Rhymasaurus and make a cartoon. And I'm like, you got the first one of you guys to buy a building in downtown Stockton and make me part owner gets the show.
Love it.
That's where my head is at.
Part of the deal. Yeah. Yeah. Bring some of these old buildings.
Yeah. Make a studio, put a movie studio here so we can do kids shows. I don't know. I think that's not out of the question. If I start somewhere with like little YouTube clips and get it out there, manifest again. Who knows?
And you're in California. Like what better place to be to start to get in front of people to do those sorts of things.
Maybe
so, okay,
Pixar comes
knocking. We'll keep it top of mind. We'll manifest it.
Yeah.
We're into it. I love it. Love it. I love it. All right. Last but not least, and this could be when your illustrator comes to visit or anyone in general, but we would like to know, where's your favorite place to take someone from out of town when they're visiting you in Stockton?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm probably going to say, depending on what season sports-wise, like a Ports or a Stockton Kings game is just a good old-fashioned – it's just like it's so nice to have that local. Food-wise, man, I used to have a favorite food truck, and I'm sad because now they're becoming a restaurant, but I'm happy because they're becoming a restaurant. So when Johnny Walker opens up, I'm going to take him there. Love me some Market Tavern pizza. Mm-hmm. Cast Iron, I've never eaten a bad meal. Mm-hmm. I've never went there once and be like, eh.
I don't know what
today.
Johnny Walker is.
It's a food truck.
Oh, my. It's probably,
I've never even heard of it.
In my humble New York opinion.
W-O-K-K-E-R.
Like a wok. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Wes. It's a play on Johnny Walker. Yeah, with a wok. It's probably the best Southeast Asian food in Stockton. And it was out of a food truck. And now they have a brick and mortar coming soon.
Where's that coming? Do you know?
A couple months. The guy, Cognac, did the because he's from the same country, he did the mural in the restaurant. Fun fact. It's where, like, what's that place called? El Frutal. There's, like, a McDonald's, and there's, like, a car wash.
Mm. Oh, on Weston.
Off of March.
On March and West.
Yeah, March and West.
Oh,
it's
going
in that
right there?
Strip. Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So there's a million food places I would recommend. Like, that's probably what I would do. I would take them to eat and then take a walk somewhere nice.
Yeah. And go to a Ports game or a Kings game.
I have a feeling you want to kind of close this out with a little rap. Am I mistaken?
Seems appropriate.
Oh, we could try that.
We would love to have that.
Let's see. You know what? I was gonna do read one of my kids' books, but I feel like, how does the beat level there? Is it okay? It's not too
loud.
Sounds
good.
Yeah. Okay. We'll end it like this. Oh, I forgot this is audio and not video. It's only audio, so that means that you can listen. You can do this while you're doing dishes in your kitchen. You can listen to the podcast here with Amy, or maybe while you're making mashed potatoes with some gravy. Anthony is here. He didn't say a word, but it's okay because he's probably just maybe helping out today. And Wes is awesome, and he has the shirt from Stockton, the Fantastic Four. Yeah, you know I'm hip-hopping. The birthplace of the Thing and Sue Storm. And you know, oh my gosh, you know that's true. Wait, Johnny Storm is her brother. Let me explain. I spit hot fire like him because he's covered in flames. And Relic, that's the man, Anthony. Oh no, wait, his name is Adam. I messed up. Yo, I'm just stabbing rhymes because I'm so sharp. And you know I'm just rocking. My name is Zeps from Brooklyn, but now I'm repping Stockton.
Woo!
Yeah!
That was awesome.
A little freestyle. Shout outs to the team making this happen.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Orlando. That was amazing. Yes, but for real, thank you, thank you. This was like an incredible podcast. And like I mentioned earlier, I just feel, and I know we all feel the same way, we're fortunate to have you in Stockton to be repping the 209 now, to be proud, obviously, of being from the 209 now. You guys can't see it, but he's got his Stockton Ports hat on.
Yeah, dude, everywhere I go, I wear Mudville 9 hats and Port City, whatever.
I love it. I was on a cruise recently, and I had a Ports hat on, and some lady was like, "You got a Ports hat?" And then I saw her with one on later too. I was like, us Stockton folks take Stockton super seriously. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, we appreciate you, and we appreciate what you're doing for this community, that you are making hip hop and rap and this art accessible, like you mentioned, to people all across the spectrum in this community. And we can't wait to see what happens for you next. And thanks, I can't wait for this animated TV show that's going to have a bidding war to come out. We are pumped.
I'm excited. I think it's because it's so diverse here. I can't hide my accent. It's hard to not sound like from New York, but the culture shock of someone hearing me speak, but then I have like something with 209 and I'm just like Mudville, and everyone's like, what's happening? Yeah. What is this person?
But you're in the right place. The most diverse city in America. And we're happy to have you.
209-asaurus.
209-asaurus. All right. And now we are going to head to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Thank you, Amy. I think instead I'm just going to name a few local hip-hop talents here in Stockton, because there is a hip-hop growing hip-hop scene in the area. So I thought I'd throw out some names and then have a question or two for you and Wes regarding hip-hop. So first off, if you're looking for local talent, there's names like MB Nell, Haiti Baby, Young Slow B, EBK Young Jock, Aceto, and B Majin, who is a trilingual rapper. All of those are Stockton 209 based hip hop artists that you can look up right now on Spotify or Apple Music or even YouTube if you wanted to. They're all there. So there's your local Stockton hip hop scene that you can, you know, propel in our atmosphere.
So
now, turning the tables on you two, I want to know about you and hip hop. So my first question is, what introduced you to hip hop when you were young? Like for me, it was MTV Jams. Yo MTV Raps on MTV. That was my introduction with Ed Lover and Dr. Dre. That's when I first learned about hip hop. So for you two, what introduced you to hip hop?
Well, I am older because MTV did not play rap when I was a kid at all. For me, I think for most of the folks in my generation, so I was born in the 70s. So for us, it was all the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yes.
I mean, Rapper's Delight was the theme song for rap. Song. That's how you're right. My wife could still sing that song word for word because it was ingrained in our DNA. So Sugar Hill would be probably my introduction into hip hop.
And then I'm trying to think of like the first hip hop song I really remember hearing. And I would say this must have been the late 90s, but I remember the Dr. Dre Eminem song that came out, Forget About Dre, or Forgot About Dre. And that song, I remember the first thing I remember trying to recite, and my mom being like, "What are you saying?" I'm like, "Nothing." Handful of matches. Yeah. Because I mean, I grew up in Stockton, so like K-Win was our radio station, and that was playing that was what we listened to when we were growing up. So yeah, probably like 9-year-old Amy trying to rap some Eminem, I think, was my my intro into the hip hop scene for sure.
Showing my age difference, I was a junior when that album came out in high school, and we were all playing that at lunch break. The minute you got to have off campus cards, everyone played Dre's album. On the way out of the
parking lot. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so now second and last question: who would you say? It's a difficult one. Is your favorite hip hop artist, or one of your favorite hip hop artists? And you can't say Orlando. You can't say.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can't just name one, honestly.
Go for it.
I feel like, and mine are all kind of different because mine tend to be a little older. I was in the early or the late 80s, it was all I like Too Short.
Yes.
Tone Loc.
Yes.
That's a name you haven't heard in a while, right?
Funky Cole Medina.
Or at all, maybe. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Hang on.
Of course, Beastie Boys, you know, always on the list. If you like rap. But yeah, I was a huge Eminem fan when I was in the Army in the 2000s. And then I transitioned into Macklemore. I really did Macklemore. He actually, when our office was at the Civic Auditorium, he played a concert there for ASUOP. He booked the concert before his album came out. So he was massive when he came here. But you know who I saw at the county fair in the 80s too? Beside Milli Vanilli, but we won't go into that story, was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Yes! Cool.
I mean, that was because it was sort of pop. It was a whole different kind of rap because it was nice and clean, right? I mean, it was sort of like, you know, this is...
parents just don't understand.
Yeah, right. Or summertime. So anyway, I got a bunch that I like. But,
love it.
If I had to pick a favorite, I mean, it's hard. You know, Eminem is... He's just amazing, and mm-hmm. he just had such a great history of work. So anyway, I got a lot.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So I think I'll go with two. So I think Jay-Z has to be one of my all-time favorites. And one person, one group. It wasn't until I saw them live that I was like, oh my God, this like absolutely rocked my world. So Ian and I flew down here to Stockton from Idaho for Christmas one year, and Jay-Z was playing right before Christmas in Sacramento. So we went and saw him, and it was my first time going to Golden One Center in where the Kings play in Sacramento. And that stadium or whatever arena is so cool, and it's right downtown, and we stayed in a hotel down there. And I think that was in 2017 or 2016. It must have been 2017. And that was the first time where Ian and I both were like, I think we need to move back to California. Like it just, we were like, didn't realize how much we missed like being able to go to hip hop. Like Jay-Z wasn't coming to Boise, Idaho. Okay. Like it wasn't happening. We were going to have to go elsewhere to go. And that's exactly why we went to Sacramento to go see him. And the show was so good. And the crowd was so awesome. It was an older crowd, obviously, because Jay-Z, you know, appealing to like the people our age or what have you. So Jay-Z's amazing, obviously. And then there's a group called Brockhampton who actually just announced last year that they were kind of like breaking up and not going to be on tour anymore. But I saw they did come through Boise when they were small, probably in like 2018 maybe. And they're kind of like what Zepps was talking about, kind of like this conglomerate. There's like rappers, there is artists, there is producers. It's like 12 guys who all met on a Reddit thread, like a Kanye stan Reddit thread, and all moved to a house in Texas together and just like made music, made art, did this whole thing. And they were amazing. And then we got to see them on their last show that they put on together at Coachella last year, which was really cool. So I recommend everyone check out some Brockhampton. They're awesome.
Okay,
those are my picks.
You've mentioned two of the ones on my list, both of you, Eminem and Jay-Z, of course.
Okay.
For me, to add on to that would be Chuck D from Public Enemy. He's the prophet of hip hop, in my opinion, a very current event poet when it comes to hip hop. I thought he was great on that. Run DMC, of course, grandfathers of hip hop there. But the one that always sticks out to me is the first album I was allowed to own of the hip hop genre in seventh grade, because my dad said, I trust you, you can listen to other things besides oldies and country. And that was Tupac's All Eyes on Me, his 1996 album that came out like either a month before he died or a month after he died. But I It was a double CD, and I burned like through both those discs repeatedly, night after night. So
they're paper Tupac. Thin now. Yeah.
Tupac I was wondering if Tupac was going to come up on.
Yeah, this. Had to. Awesome.
Yeah. Ian was at the Coachella when they did the Tupac hologram, and he nice. Said, "I mean, and of course, everyone's real partied up at Coachella, and people were like, what's happening? Is this real?
He's back.
Like, what's happening? Yeah,
it's true. He didn't
yeah. die. He was like, you should have felt the vibe in that crowd, man. People were very confused. Yeah. Producer Adam, do you have a favorite hip hop star?
I would say probably the Beastie Boys.
Nice.
Yeah, right on.
Of course, New Yorker.
Yeah. So good. Yeah,
stick with the five boroughs. Yeah. Stuck with the five boroughs there.
Yeah, well, and the first album that I ever listened to, well, I guess I'm kind of younger, so I was like
cool Adam. I'm just
I was in elementary school when 8 Mile came out. So
wow. Oh, all right, I'm good. Wow. I'm done. Yeah, we're turning off the show. Bye.
Jeez. So they were playing on the bus to school. They were playing like Lose Yourself because it was on the radio all the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I wonder what this is about. Or and like, you know, I was like pretty young, so I didn't even realize what like what the lyrics were or anything.
Of
I was
course,
just like,
yeah.
This is kind of interesting.
Lose Yourself, of course, is the award-winning song, but on that same album, 8 Mile, which is like a 5.5 minute song,
yep.
is probably the better lyrically. It's a great song.
That yeah. song is also mm-hmm. really great. Yeah. So yeah.
Love it. Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys. And with that, we are going to roll into our events segment. And it's early summer, so you know the events are cracking in Stockton. Wes, you got the first one.
Yeah, Lincoln Center Wine Stroll is returning. It has been a long time. And actually, I think it went away before the pandemic, if I remember correctly. But it is returning on Friday, June 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m. at Lincoln Center, of course. And this is where you purchase a ticket, and you can get it $40 in advance or $50 at the event. You get a wine glass and a little map that takes you all around Lincoln Center where you can do some wine tasting, of course, shopping. I'm sure there'll be great places to eat and all of that. And they'll be looking for a People's Choice Award for your favorite winery. And you can also enter to win a gift card from Lincoln Center. So that is Friday, June 23rd from 6 to 9 at Lincoln Center.
Love a Friday event because I'm old now, so I need 2 whole days to recover from something like a wine stroll. So I'm all in. And then after you sleep off your wine snoozes on Saturday, June 24th, our friends at Merge are bringing Sunset on the Concrete. So it's going to be a one-day art festival. They're going to have local vendors, live art, vintage streetwear. They're going to have a DJ. They're going to have dance performances. And this is happening under the freeway downtown across the street from St. Mary's Church. And it's going to be awesome. Their branding is beautiful. These guys are artists themselves. They are street food vendors themselves. They do a little bit of everything. If you remember the big hands at Stockton Flavor Fest, the sculptures, that is produced by this same group. And so we encourage you to go and check that out. And that starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's only a $5 admission.
Well, Amy, you're not really going to be able to recover from the wine tasting because the next evening is Miracle Mile en Blanc. And
just roll into the next.
We're just going to never sober up.
Yeah.
So Saturday, June 24th, and the Visit Stockton team will be there. We have a table, of course, and it's 6 to 10 on the Miracle Mile, and it's actually right there at Tuxedo Circle, I guess, right near La Palma. So anyway, you get to, it's en blanc, meaning it's all white. So you dress in all white from toes to top, and you get local appetizers and dishes from Miracle Mile restaurants. There'll be live music, silent auction. There'll be a bar there. So it's a great evening to enjoy the Miracle Mile. And it is a fundraiser for the Miracle Mile, and I have no idea what the prices are.
Look them up. Yeah.
Yeah. Look them up on our website, people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, yeah, go to visitstockton.org to check out Miracle Mile en Blanc. But again, it is a fundraiser. So, but it's fun. It actually was a great time last. They actually did it in 2019. And of course,
yeah, that was the first time. And then the last time for a while.
Yeah, come out, dress in white, and come say hi to the Visit Stockton team.
Love it. And then I honestly can't believe this is on our list of events because I can't believe where we're at in the year, but the 4th of July parade is happening on Tuesday, July 4th in downtown Stockton. So things are going to kick off at the Civic Auditorium. The parade will begin at 11 on the corner of Weber and El Dorado Street and make a nice loop from there. And there's going to be fireworks later at the park at 9:30. And this is put on by the Veterans Council, and it's a great event. So be sure to go out and support. It's a big list of activities happening that day, and it's free. There you go. All right. So if you are interested in learning more about events in Stockton, be sure to visit our website at visitstockton.org. And when you're there, you can sign up for the city's largest events calendar.
And we want to thank our guest today, Orlando Molina from Rhymasaurs. That's just one of the things he's from, but he's doing so many amazing things in the hip hop space. We are just glad he's in Stockton. We can't wait to see what he does. But he was a great guest today. So very cool. And if you need some event wrap at your event here in Stockton, reach out to Orlando.
Absolutely. And if you like what you're hearing, you want to hear more from us, if you don't want to have to be reminded to go to our website to hear our bi-monthly podcast, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or on Apple Music. We would appreciate any ratings and reviews you can give us. That is how we know we are delivering the kind of content and information you all want to hear. So please, if you could do us a solid and do that, that would be amazing. For supporting images and insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. Stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton. Be sure to follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.